Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
I'm not great at keeping promises. Not at all. I'm not even good at keeping promises. It's not because I don't want to be. It's not like I jump into breaking promises or something like that. But truth be told, I'm a sinner. Surprise, surprise, right? And so sometimes what I'll do is I will make promises to my family, and then I don't keep them. I don't follow through on what I promised I would do. Sometimes I make promises to the church, that is you, and then at the next voters meeting or church council meeting, as the previous meeting's minutes are read, I will realize I dropped the ball. There was something that I was assigned to take care of in between meetings that I just did not do. But if I'm going to be perfectly honest with you, the promises I break most often are the promises that I make to myself. You see, I keep promising myself over and over again that I'm going to be better in every avenue of my life. I'm going to be better spiritually, I'm going to be better physically, I'm going to be better emotionally. I set myself to be a better pastor, a better husband, a better father, a better son, a better brother, a better friend. I set goals for myself again and again and again. And with all good intentions, I always try to follow through. I always try to keep these promises that I make to myself. And yet here I am. I am still a broken man, living in a broken world with a broken faith. Maybe you have a hard time with promises too. And our text for this morning comes from the Gospel in Luke 24. And it has a certain amount to say about promises. Allow me to read it for you one more time. On the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified on the third day. Rise." And they remembered his words. These women who go to the tomb early in the morning, they were given a promise by the Lord Jesus. He promised that he would be betrayed, treated poorly, crucified, and 3 days later that he would come back to life. And Jesus not only told them this once, Jesus told them this again and again and again. They should have known. In fact, if they believed that the resurrection was going to happen on the third day, just like Christ promised, they would have kept vigil. They would have been waiting there to see that stone sort of like magically just kind of roll itself to the side, and they would have seen Jesus walking physically out of the tomb, but they missed it. They weren't there. They didn't see it because they didn't believe. Quite honestly, the men are no better, right? The apostles? They probably heard the message of the resurrection even more than the women did. Why didn't they go to the tomb? Why weren't they when Jesus walked out? And instead, right, not only did they hear that Jesus was going to rise from Jesus himself before his death, but then the women come, having received this message from the angel that Jesus actually was alive, and then the women, they go and they tell the men, and the men hear it as an idle tale. And they do not believe. You see, Jesus never breaks a promise. In fact, he's really good at keeping them, unlike me, unlike you. He always keeps his promises. In fact, he has a perfect track record from Adam and Eve, through Abraham, through David, through the Babylonian captivity, through the life of Christ, even to the year 2022. Jesus has still never broken a promise, not once. And so with a perfect track record, why is it so challenging for the disciples to believe that he would actually follow through and come back to life? And before we throw our stones at the disciples, maybe we should consider our own place. Why is it so hard for us to believe in the resurrection even now? Now, I'm sure you believe the resurrection. I know that you believe it, right? We've already said that, right? Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. See, I know you believe this. It's good. Yet, we also know that there is sin and doubt and Satan and the unbelieving world, and they are trying to discourage our faith. And when death and its precursors display themselves in our lives, you may be tempted to think that the problems in your life are more certain than the resurrection. This is the temptation. To which, of course, you know, good Christian people, you'll say, well, surely not I. Surely I would never doubt the resurrection when things start to go bad in my life. But remember, the disciples said the same thing. They're all gathered around the table with Jesus on the day that he was betrayed, right? Eating that Passover meal. And they go, well, one of you is going to betray me. And they all in turn go, surely not I, Lord. And while Judas is actually the one who physically betrays Jesus with a kiss, let's not pretend that the other disciples don't run away from the Lord and leave him to be arrested, to suffer, and to die. There was not one disciple left who did not betray Jesus by leaving him on his own. And so we have this tendency, just like the disciples, that when things start to turn south, we start to measure our faith by our emotions or by the current state of our life. And when this happens, our faith falters. Our faith suffers. This is why we need resurrection promises. This is why we need to continually return to Jesus' death and his resurrection. It's why we need to plant our faith firmly on what God has said in the Bible and nowhere else. Because truth be told, and this may come as a shock to some of you, bad stuff happens to Christians. The resurrection doesn't mean that you will magically live some sort of easy life. It doesn't mean that God will somehow shield you from anything bad ever happening. No, bad stuff will still happen to you. I promise. That's what it is to live in a sin-filled world. And so if you measure your faith, if you measure God's blessings by how well your life is going, your faith will suffer. That's why we don't do that. It's why we measure our life by Christ's life, by what he has done, by his death and his resurrection. Because after all, if we put our faith in how well life is going, well, what happens when you make it to the point of death? What happens when your money and possessions, you have to leave them all behind? Or what happens if they dry up in the middle of your life? What happens when our relationships fall apart? What happens if our faith is caught up in how well our health is going, and then all of a sudden we get a bad diagnosis, or we have to hear that word cancer in our ears? What if someone we're close to betrays us, or we lose our job? You see, everything, all of the temporal things of this life, eventually they can and will fail. But Jesus doesn't. That's what the resurrection is about. And see, the disciples, as well as ourselves, sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we forget God's word. And we begin to interpret truth through our temporal reality rather than through faith and through God's word. This is why we repeat the refrain over and over and over again. And you're going to hear it for the next 8 weeks through Easter. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Without this truth, we are lost. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Jesus promises you life in the midst of death. He promises you joy in the midst of suffering. And he promises you eternal life in the midst of temporal understanding. His word, his promises, they're true. Period. The end. Full stop. Nothing can take them away. This is why he went to the cross. That's why he shed his blood. It's why he died for you, so that you could have eternal promises even in the midst of your own suffering. This is why Jesus rose victorious from the grave, so that you could be raised as well, that even after your own death, with your own eyes, you will see Christ in eternity. Jesus wins forgiveness. He wins your life. He wins your salvation. So let's find our identity in that reality, in that promise. Because when we do, we have the peace of Christ. We have hope and we have joy no matter what may happen. My friends, if we're going to be honest, we're not good at keeping promises, are we? Honestly, if we're going to be honest, we're not good at trusting in Christ's promises either. Promises are just really hard for us. But if you're humble enough to admit that, then you have come to the right place. For this is the place where God reminds you of his promises. They are spoken and preached into your ears. And Jesus promises, you are forgiven. This is where the Lord upholds you as one of his baptized children. This is where he invites you to eat and drink his body and blood to strengthen your faith and to give you what you need to continue in this world. This is where you celebrate that God's promises don't rely on you, but they're simply fixed in eternity. This is where we repeat the refrain, Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.